Good morning. Welcome to Bethlehem Lutheran Church, where God has called and gathered us here this day to receive his gifts through his word. The Old Testament reading for Quinquagesima is from Isaiah chapter 35. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute man sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals, where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. This is the word of the Lord. We now read responsively by half verse our introit, which can be found in your bulletin. I will praise the Lord as long as I live.
I will sing
praises
to my God.
Praise the Lord.
I will praise the Lord as long as I live.
I will sing praises to my God
while I have my being.
Put not your trust in princes.
In the Son of Man, in whom there is no salvation.
When his breath departs, he returns to the earth.
On that very day, his plans perish.
Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob,
whose hope is in the Lord his
God, who made heaven and earth, who keeps faith forever, who gives food to the hungry, the Lord lifts up those who are bowed down, the Lord loves the righteous, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I will praise the Lord as long as I live.
I will sing praises to my God.
The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now, faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter. Taking the 12, Jesus said to them, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles, and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him. And on the third day he will rise. But they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not grasp what was said. As he drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what this meant. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." And he cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Lord, let me recover my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Recover your sight. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. This is the word of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Love is patient. Are you? Love is not arrogant or rude. Am I? Love doesn't insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It doesn't rejoice at wrongdoing, but instead rejoices with the truth. What about us? Is that what we do? Is that the way that we live our lives? Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Can we say the same thing about ourselves? Well, hopefully we're all mature enough in our faith to realize that we do not have all those qualities. But what about our deeds? Maybe we do those with love. Maybe we do those the right way, right? So then, when you speak, are you a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal? Do you have prophetic powers, understand the mysteries of the universe, and have all knowledge and even all faith? Well, if you do, and you don't have love, you're nothing. Have you given everything away, delivered your body to suffering? If you have, but you haven't love, then you have gained nothing. Hopefully you get the point here. Without love, nothing else matters. If you don't have love, all of your good deeds are nothing. If you don't have love, everything that you know is nothing. Paul even goes so far as to say that if you even have all faith, but you have not love, you are nothing. So, let's look at this. Let's dive into this. What kind of love exactly is it that Paul is trying to get across to us that is so important? After all, right now, especially, I've noticed that the world talks a lot about love. The world talks a lot about loving this and loving that and loving winning and all this kind of stuff, right? But essentially, the world's version of love comes down to this: get on board or get run over. Maybe you've seen this. Maybe you've looked out in the world and you've noticed that all of a sudden, if you maybe have some questions, maybe even some objections, maybe if you don't agree, all of a sudden the love sort of just seems to vanish. Right? That isn't God's love. That isn't the love that we are supposed to have. We are not a get on board or get run over kind of place. Because that's not who Jesus is. And when we're talking about the love that we are supposed to be having here, the love that Paul uses so many times in this wonderful poem, really, the word that's used is the word agape. I think we've talked in the past, but remember that there are different kinds of love in the Bible. Probably the big two that pop up are we have agape and we have phileo. Phileo is brotherly love or friendly love. It's the love that you have for your companions, for your friends, that kind of love. And we do see that pop up in the Bible fairly consistently. But much more commonly, we see the word agape. And this love is unconditional love. This is the love that God has for us. The love that drove our Creator to create us. The love that drove him to, when we messed things up, when the devil came in and tricked us, and when we chose to reject God, that instead of choosing to reject us, which he had every right to do, he loved us instead. And he chose to save us. Agape love is the love that your Savior has for you. Your Savior, who didn't have to become human, who didn't have to come down and suffer for you. He could have just left us, and he would have had every right to do so. But instead, when he saw our plight, when he saw what we were going through, when he heard the will of the Father that we would be saved, he chose to make that his will as well. He chose to come down, to become one of us, to die for us. He chose to love us. This agape love is the love that the Holy Spirit inside of you has for you. The love of somebody who's with you every single day of your life, fighting battles that you can't even imagine for your soul. The love of someone who gives you the very breath of life and who fights for you to create faith inside of you that you would be able to be with him forever, even into eternity. That's the love that Paul is talking about here. And that's the love that we are called to have in us. It's a pretty tall order, isn't it? It's hard to love people. It's hard to love people even with phileo love, but it's impossible to love people with agape love. If we were trying to do this on our own, we'd fail. And you know this to be true because you recognize the truth that when we were going through that list of things, we didn't match up with them all. We have failed, even though we did try to do it. But you are free to recognize the truth that in our efforts to love others, that we are not alone. And you are free to recognize the truth as well that love is one of the few things that will endure that last day. That the love of Christ, who forgives you for those times when we don't love as we should, remains and abides and will be with us forever. For love is eternal. And recognize all of the things that Paul listed that are going to eventually just go away. Prophecies are going to go away. Tongues are going to go away. Even knowledge is going to go away. All of these things are going to pass away. Because right now, we only prophesy and know in part. But after the last day, when we are with our Lord in the new creation, we will know fully. The way that Paul describes this is that right now, compared to how we will be in the new creation, that we are children. We are childish. We are immature. We speak like children. We think and reason like children. But then, we will be mature. On the last day, we will have grown up into who we were created to be. And we will love. Right now, it's as if we're looking in a mirror that has been clouded over. You got to remember, back in Paul's time, that they didn't have good mirrors like we have nowadays. They basically probably had really well-polished metal, for the most part. To have even like a hand mirror would have been the luxury of luxuries reserved for the richest people and royalty. So when somebody thinks about looking in a mirror back then, they would not have gotten a good image like we do now. It would have been warped. It would have been covered over with grime, probably, if they haven't polished it recently. It wouldn't actually give you all that good of a picture. It would kind of just give you the basic general idea. And that's where we are now. When we look forward to the new creation, when we look forward to how it's going to be, we have a vague sort of kind of general idea. But the reality is going to be so much better than we can even really imagine. The reality of not having to prophesy. Remember what the job of a prophet is. The job of a prophet is to bring the word of God to a person. The reason that the job of prophet exists is because when God tries to come directly to a person, nowadays, they have a tendency to freak out. And they have a tendency to not listen, to reject what is being brought to them. But in the new creation, when God wants to tell us something, He's just going to come and tell us. And we won't freak out. We won't be afraid. Because we'll know how much God loves us. We'll see how much God loves us. This is the kind of thing that we're talking about. We're going to be able to see God face to face. And we're going to be able to live with Him forever into eternity. And that is all because of God's love for us. Make no mistake, Paul here is speaking about how we are supposed to live our lives. This is him telling us about the way of love, the way that we're supposed to love those around us, love ourselves, and love God. But also, don't be mistaken that the one who truly did this was our Lord Jesus. That when it talks about faith, hope, and love abiding, recognize the wondrous truth of the statement right before that. That we will know fully at that time, just as you are right now, currently, known fully by your God. God knows you. God sees you. He knows the worst thing that you could possibly do, the worst thing that you have possibly done. He knows how bad you could be. And He loves you anyways. but also recognize the truth that he knows how good you could be as well. He knows the best you that you could possibly be. And recognize that he's working on you to form you into that person. We hear about how faith, hope, and love abide. But the greatest of these is love. Faith looks back to see the love that God has had for us. Faith looks to the cross, sees the love that Jesus had when he died for us, and recognizes that he still has it now, and that that's why we're saved. Hope, on the other hand, currently trusts in the Lord who loves us. It looks forward. We are hoping for the resurrection of the dead, and our hope is not a wish. It's not some sort of flimsy, maybe potential thing. The hope that we have is sure and confident. But the love that binds us and holds us to the Father, Son, and Spirit is greater than both. The love that God has for us is greater than both. Because if God didn't love us, faith and hope doesn't matter. But he does. And he proves it. He proved it when he died. He proved it when he raised. He proved it when you are forgiven for those times that we fail at being loving. And he proves it again, or he will prove it again, when he comes back for us, showing how much he loves us when he raises us from the dead and finishes us, completes us, so that we could be people who live in the way of love. Now may the peace which passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.